Welcome to Shasta County Elections. This special presentation is by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. It is produced and hosted by myself, Lynn Fritz. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. Today we're in conversation with Clint Curtis. He's the current Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters and a candidate for the same office coming up for elections in June. Go, how you doing?
I am doing good.
Clint. How are you, Clint?
call me whatever you like. I'll answer. I'm good.
You're going to show up, aren't you? I like that. So I always like to have our listeners get to know the person, you know, where you grew up, for instance. Where'd you grow up?
Oh, I grew up in Illinois. I mean, all of Illinois. I grew up in Southern Illinois and went to school in Central Illinois and then worked up in Chicago. So I was all over Illinois.
Wow. So what's your educational background?
I have a Juris Doctorate. So, you know, I went all the way through the system, went to, you know, the beginning and then all the way to law school. And I went to law school in Barry University, Orlando, McGeorge down here in Sacramento, yeah, and Cambridge over in England.
So wow. Nice variety.
Well, I was looking for more of a challenge because it wasn't really that challenging. Some people say law school is hard. I don't really know why. You know, if you just read it and remember it, you're good to go. But so I just kept. You know, Barry is not really like a top anything. It's like one of the low tiers.
Uh-huh.
So Cambridge was in the top 100. I mean, the McGeorge was in the top 100. So try that. And Cambridge is world renowned.
Yes.
Not a nickel's worth of difference in any of them. It's all about the same.
So it's focus of study and getting memorizing things and getting engaged in it.
You must have
a passion for it.
Yes.
Wow.
I love playing law. Before that, before I became a lawyer, I was actually a programmer. So I worked at NASA and DOD. I was a prototyper, so I could basically
Department of Defense,
anything.
DOD, right?
What was that again?
DOD is Department of Defense.
Yes, Department of Defense, Department of Transportation, worked for ExxonMobil. I was a prototyper. So
what's a prototyper?
A prototyper is basically someone who can take whatever the client brings you and turn that into a computer program. So I set all that up, and then a lot of the hard coding, you know, the heavy coding at the end would be done by someone else, you know, go down, bring it down to C so it's quicker, that sort of thing. But I would build the program so it would actually work in the way they want it to work. So if they know what they have and they know what they want at the end, I can give it to them.
Oh, that's interesting. So then you went into law after that.
Then I went into law. Well, when I was a programmer, I became a whistleblower on this whole election issue. So, you know, I testified before Congress on it and all that sort of thing. So it made it more difficult to be a programmer once you're a whistleblower.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these companies aren't really that ethically positive. Let's put it that way. And so they're a little frightened by that. So it was much easier to go into law. And after I became a whistleblower and went through that whole process, I noticed that there was kind of a gap in it. There wasn't a lot of, I guess, fire in the belly of the attorneys doing that. And so that's kind of what I specialized in. So after, when I went into law, I started suing the government, whistleblower suits, corruption, you know, stealing money. You know, and the funny part was you always hear people say, well, which is worse, the Democrats or the Republicans? And the correct answer is yes, somebody in there is going to be bad.
Yeah.
You give somebody power, you give them a budget that, you know, they really shouldn't have never had before, and somewhere in those administrations, and it usually is not the top. The top doesn't have anything to do with it. So it's not the president. It's not the vice president. It's usually down when you get into the departments, and then people go crazy.
And I think what people tend to forget is that when you're at the top, it's very challenging, almost impossible to know what everybody else is doing. So you rely upon people. You have to.
Impossible to know, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, even in the ROV's office, there are a lot of tasks out there that are basically given to other staff members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're given to supervisors, they're given to other people. And you don't know those aren't done until they're not done,
mm-hmm,
right? And then you have to run in there and try and fix everything and get all fixed up. But
yeah,
but other than that, you really don't know because you can't follow everything. That's why you have 20 people, because there's, it takes 20 people to do the job. So the guy at the top can't really do all 20 jobs. If they could, that'd be nice because you cut your budget, but,
yeah,
you know.
It's impossible.
Impossible.
Yes. So you predominantly was your life more on the East Coast? I mean, you came to California for school, but after school, did you stay in what region of the country?
Well, I was a lawyer that was working for government corruption cases, so it pretty much took me all over. Plus, I was working on the election issue at the same time. So, you know, we did observations of elections. We sued for election fraud. We sued for elections that were faulty. And so it was kind of all over the place, you know, South Carolina, Arizona, Utah, Montana, New York.
Lots of diverse experience, huh?
Yes. They are everywhere. So, you know, the office kind of had a lot of specialty with the election issue since I knew so much about it. And so I could go through and actually nitpick all the things and see what they did wrong. Because a lot of these election officials, and it's amazing, they get lazy. So they don't keep up on anything. They just kind of do it the way they've always done it, dump-de-dump-de-dump, and they mess it up. You know, you can't do that. And they don't even try to read the rules a lot of times. In Shasta County, horrible at reading the rules and following them. I mean, they actually blew the order that you put the people in on the ballot, which is almost impossible to mess up because the Secretary of State draws the numbers, sends them to you, sends you notices on how to use it, sends you reports on what you're supposed to do with it. And here they didn't do that. They just made up their own.
That's interesting. One of the things I want to clarify, though, you were just before you moved to Reading, where were you residing?
New York.
New York.
Yes, but the office was in Florida.
Okay.
I have offices in Florida, New York, and the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Because we also did immigration law. And so, and everybody in the Dominican Republic wants to come over here. So you have a lot of immigration business.
I bet.
But in New York, I was working on a case up there. And then I got a call that, you know, they had the opening again. I'd applied once before.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So I applied once before and I came down and they didn't select me. They took Tom Toller. Toller? Toller?
Mm-hmm. Toller. Toller.
Yes. I don't know. Something. Tom somebody.
Yes.
And he had a crash and burn election. So, I mean, it was like the worst one they'd had. So he didn't know what he was doing. And
You came out to serve as Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters.
Exactly.
Ah, okay.
I came out here just for that purpose. And the second time I ran, you know, applied, they selected me. And so we came here and we changed the elections entirely. We locked everything down. It had absolutely terrible chain of custody. They were just rolling the ballots around everywhere. Nothing was sealed, you know.
I want to ask you some things about your background.
Okay.
When you came to Shasta County, what did you think of Shasta County?
Oh, I like Shasta County.
The area? You like the area?
The people, well, you have a mix of people here.
Yes, we do. Yes.
We have some really great people, and then we have some really crazy people. And there's a small group of them, but they're fairly loud. And so, you know, it kind of surprised me how crazy some of them were. Because I've never experienced that anywhere else.
Oh,
you know,
it's interesting.
Even with the political, you know, bumping together.
Yes.
You know, I've never seen that anywhere else. And here it seems to be the socialist democratic people. But I've never seen that any other place. Usually they're fairly calm.
Mm-hmm.
They're fairly directed. But not here in Shasta.
And when the Registrar of Voters and as Shasta County Clerk... Does the Shasta County Board of Supervisors have oversight of your office?
Yes, no. Not completely, not much. And that is part of the problem, is that and it's not just here, but everywhere around, basically the ROV has the discretion to do anything they want to do.
Registrar of Voters.
Registrar of Voters has the discretion to do anything they want to do. And so a lot of change.
But who governs them? Who decides what they're doing?
No one.
The state does.
Not really.
They have certain protocols
you're
supposed to
follow.
The state
has certain protocols you have to do, certain rules you have to do, but there is a lot of leeway on how you do it.
Yes.
And if it's not specified, you can pretty much do anything you want to do, which is not necessarily that good. So there's not a lot of people think the Secretary of State is a strong position where they come down and they monitor and they watch you and they tell you what to do. It's more of an advisory board. You know, it's more of, this is how we want to see it done, you know, this sort of thing. And they give you the things to fill out, but they don't go through the process to do it. So
But you do have to follow the laws.
You have to follow the laws.
Yes.
Most of those are state laws.
Yes.
So you have the election code, and it's about 3 inches thick. And you have to go through there, and everything you do, you have to look it up to see if there's anything that it actually, and it doesn't always address everything.
Yes.
I mean, as a lawyer, you go through looking for particular things so you can, you know, essentially make the elements so you can put it out correctly. But some of them are a little sloppy.
Okay. One of the next things I wanted to ask you about, because I want our listeners to know that the questions I've asked you, I've asked the other candidate, Joanna Francisca. So you're both handling the same questions, same amount of time. We want to be as equal as possible.
You can ask anything. You don't have to stay on script. I'm good.
Good. So, have you served on any commissions, boards, or committees?
Well, essentially, yes, although not in Shasta because I haven't been that long, although I do work with the veterans and things like that here, but not on their boards yet. But essentially, I did a lot with domestic violence down in both New York and in Florida. And so I was always on the boards helping them get their things done, and they were set up to bring in underserved populations. So we have a heavy Spanish population down in Florida. A lot of them, well, in some countries, some Latin countries, it's a little different than what you think of America is. So
how so?
They don't understand that, you know, the women are owned by the men. And you can't, like, do the things that they do down in Latin America, that you have to kind of be nice to people. And so there's a lot of issues with the women being able to come in and report the abuse.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking severe abuse, and because of their culture, they push it away. Uh-huh. They don't admit it. They just ignore it until, you know, they end up, like, getting killed or something, and that happens a lot.
Wow.
So, you know, we worked with that to bring people in and to give them a place to go and to get people from their culture. So, because we have Dominicans, we have Haitians, we have Puerto Ricans, we have all kinds. And people say, well, it's the Spanish population. Well, the Spanish population is very diverse.
Yes.
Very diverse. So, the thing that will work for the Puerto Ricans will not work for the Dominicans at all. And so you have to have people that understand their culture so they feel, you know, feel comfortable coming in, talking about it, reporting it, and getting it solved. Because most things can be solved if you simply get it out there and work with it. And in a lot of, you know, areas, people will come in. And we had a lot of illegal as well, you know, that came in illegally. Well, they still shouldn't be abused, right? So you have to take care
of them. No one should be.
There's nothing we can do for them legally because, you know, I would help people that, you know, needed to get a green card, get anything like that, that were legal to come through. When you're illegal, you really don't get a lot of help from the government. You know, now they do the handouts and stuff like that, but when you get right down to it, they don't really do much to actually help you. It's mostly a slavery system.
Wow.
So, you know, and I had a case in, we helped the farm workers up in DeLand. And it was a big farm worker population, right? They came in and they picked ferns. So the little ferns you get in your flowers.
Yes.
Most of those come from Florida, and they're being picked by not necessarily immigrants, but a lot of illegals as well.
Ah.
And so we had somebody come up there from Honduras, and I was up there talking to them and, you know, telling them what their rights were and telling them, you know, why they shouldn't be here illegal. That's a bad thing for you. It's a bad thing for them. And if they wanted to go home, I could set that up for them so they didn't get penalized.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise you can get a 10-year bar, and that could be a bad thing. So we work with them on that regard. But we had this family come up, and they said, you know, that their little girl, she was like 6-year-old, had been kidnapped. She was gone.
Wow.
So it's the two of them and the boy. And I said, we can fix that. I'll get hold of the sheriff. We'll get this taken care of. No problem. And they said, we can't do that. We're not legal. And if we turn it in, we'll get thrown out of the country. Well, they might be right.
Yeah.
But the problem is that exists. And so they wouldn't tell me their names or any information that I could use to actually help them because they were illegal. And so people are able to snatch these kids up and take off with them, and there's nothing they can do.
Wow.
And since it's such a secretive system,
yes.
You know, the illegals know the illegals know the illegals, and nothing comes out, then, you know, if you want to steal a kid, it's easy to do.
Wow, that's
And there is
really
no
sad.
Way they can stop them.
That's
now, you
really
have U
sad.
Visas, but they don't always work.
Wow, that's important work. So you served in that field. Prior to the Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters, had you occupied a seat of government previously?
No, I sued the government. So I was the oversight of the government, especially election offices. We filed all kinds of, you know, cases and got things done. And, you know, believe it or not, like I told you about the ballot order here in Shasta County and the fact that they made up their own. We saw that in one other location. We were able to overturn that election because you can't just make up your ballot. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a drawing. That's the order it's supposed to be in, right? And if you get put somebody else on top, the person on top usually gets more votes from the people who aren't real sure. And so, like in my race, I will be on top of the ballot, and that will get me extra votes, just because people won't know either one of the people
placement,
right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't say Republican Democrat. Well, I'm the Republican, and she's the lefty, I guess you want to call it. I'm not sure it's Democrat. They're Democrats are a little different now. They're kind of divided, funny. But it's not going to show that.
If you just joined us, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections. It's presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm Lynn Fritz, your producer and host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're here in conversation with Clint Curtis. He is the current Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters and is a candidate for that same office coming up for the election in June. So one of the things I like to ask people about is your political affiliation and why you chose that?
Well, that's an interesting question. I was born a Republican. Southern Illinois is Republican. In fact, people think Illinois is blue. Illinois is not blue. Illinois is bright red until you get to Chicago. And there's enough people in Chicago to turn the whole state blue. But everything downstate's all red. Same problem you have in California, where most of it is red, but you have these cities and they just eat you up, you know. And then you saw that in Prop 50. You know, we will no longer have representation in this area by people that we actually know. We're going to be ruled by San Francisco because that's what that allowed it to do.
Yeah. Larger population.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not representation. You got to represent everybody, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just go, okay, well, this city can cover all of this area and all of that area. You know, it's just a bad way to go. But so I got in, as a Republican, and I was working with the Bush people, Tom Feeney, Jeb Bush, all that down in Florida. And that's when they asked about the voting software, and they asked for me to build a prototype for the electronic voting machines. And this was for any electronic voting machines, but I was a prototyper. I build things, right? So, but also one of the requests is, and can you put in code which allows someone to just flip the vote whenever they want to, pick the race?
So did that determine for you which political office, you know, which group you wanted to align with?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. The Bushes chased me out of the Republican Party.
Really? Wow.
They were a bad group.
So I mean, are you Democrat?
No, I'm a Republican now. Because the Democrats have gone way over to the left, right? And so they were, you know, I went to the Democrats because they were interested in elections and all that sort of thing, which is what I was talking about. Policies, never so much. I was kind of conservative Democrat. There are no conservative Democrats left. I mean, they chased Bobby Kennedy out of the Democratic Party. Think about that. That's almost impossible, right? Yeah. But, you know, it's this no rules, no ice, no anything.
So today, how would you consider yourself?
Say what?
Today, do you consider yourself a Democrat?
Oh, no. Republican.
Republican.
Yes.
So the journey was you came back to the Republican Party.
I came back. Well, I was always there, but the Republican Party under Bush was not a nickel's worth of difference than the Democratic Party under Clinton.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, it's all that whole globalist thing.
Yes.
And I was never that globalist. I'm always kind of a nationalist. I think, you know, take care of America first, do that sort of thing. So I'm actually endorsed by the Republican Central Committee in Shasta County, the Republican Assembly.
So why did you choose Republican? What was it about it that spoke to you?
It's kind of they had the values of America, taking care of America, mm-hmm. and kind of an American first process. So, you know, it's guns, God, Bibles, you know, family. That's what you need. I mean, that's really what a community needs. Now, the Democratic Party touched on it a little for a while, but then they abandoned it completely. So,
yes. And, you know, the reason I'm asking you and to, you know, kind of shorten your comments, because I want to make sure you get all the questions that the other candidate had. So,
oh, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, it's for people, the public, to understand how you're different.
Okay.
And ways that you're alike as well.
We're pretty different. You can probably tell.
So when there are, you look at a lot of the conflict and division we've had nationally and specifically in Shasta County, because you hold that office in Shasta County. When you approach, what approach do you use when you want to try to bridge differences? Because not everyone thinks alike. You have lots of differences, the whole spectrum to deal with as a clerk and registrar of voters. Any particular mindset or theory or thought you use in kind of trying to help people work together?
The biggest issue in Shasta County was there was no working together. They had this office built very lefty. All the people are lefty.
So what do you do to change that?
So what I did was I bring in all sides and I put them together and I say, do not fight, right? And I've had issues. I've had some issues from the old guard just being completely disrespectful to the new people we brought in. But if we can get them calmed down and together, it actually works very good. In the last election, you know, we brought in all the people, whoever applied basically, you know, left or right, as long as they didn't have a criminal issue.
Background, yeah.
Yeah, they can't have that. As long as they could pass the background check, you know, then we would bring them in and we'd teach them and they worked together. And it worked great. Everybody actually started working together. And I don't know if you saw the last election, if you came in, before they had this spiked fence up. Actually, a spiked fence in the middle of the room to separate the sides. We took down that fence. I got to do the tear down that fence, Mr. Gorbachev thing. And we took down that fence and we put people together and we had no conflicts. We didn't have a massive 7 or 8 security guards standing around. We had none. And we had no conflicts, no problems, no fight, because I've opened it all up and I've let people observe, because a lot of it was, you can't see anything. I'll do what I want to. You can't see anything. So I've changed that completely, and now you can see everything. There's cameras on every process. There's monitors up. I have a room there, an actual lounge area where people can come in, sit down with their drinks and their pizza, and actually watch what's going on election night. So it is wide open. And that changed everything, because now people can get along.
So historically, Shasta County had a number of drop boxes throughout the county. And I think that's one of the changes you implemented was a reduction of those.
Yes.
I think now there's 4 locations, Shasta Lake, Anderson, 2 in Rennie, none in Bernie, none in Palisadro. What was the thought behind making that change?
Well, every one of the drop boxes that I got rid of actually was within 500 feet of a mailbox. Mailboxes are much more secure. Drop boxes, we have to send volunteers, little old ladies, they're retired, driving all over the country picking these things up. And what they did before is they would drive around and pick these things up, and they would stop at their house, and they'd go to lunch, you know, because it was this big, long route.
So you felt it was a security issue?
It was horrible. It was horrible. There's no way to watch it.
So
now we have the 4, and I actually send out a group of 2 people. They go directly there and directly back. There is no route. There is not going to run through 4 boxes. You go to that box, you bring it back. We have them on a timer, so we know when they're there. I actually go out in the field and watch them to make sure they're doing it right.
So let's look at Bernie, California. If a person votes the day of the election, can they drop that in the mailbox and be guaranteed that it's going to be counted?
Well, if you're a last minute voter, just like your last minute taxes, if you do that, you're probably doing both the same way. Do it the same way. Walk in, get it stamped. They will hand stamp the receipt, and then it will count. If you are really, really last minute, right, you really are, then and the post office is now closed. So at 6 o'clock, you decide you want to vote. You can actually drop it off at the site, which is the American Legion building down there in Bernie. Just drop it up. It's a polling place. Just walk in. You can drop it off like any place else, and you don't have to be there. You can drop your mail off at any of the 53 polling locations all around the, and there. I don't think there's any more that isn't more than 15 feet from my polling place. I'm 15 miles.
So I think it's important for people to realize if the post office is closed and they can't get it stamped, they need to drop it off at a polling place.
Right. Well, they don't need a stamp. Oh, you're talking the stamp of the date. Yeah, okay. Like I thought you meant the stamp for the envelope.
No, no.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Read your own. Yeah. Yes. If you can't get the stamp, just drop it off at the polling place.
Yeah, you can't drop it into a curbside station. You have to go into the post office and get it stamped with a date.
If you're that late.
Yeah, if you're that late. Otherwise, drop it at a polling station.
Drop it at the polling station. They're open. There's 53 of them. They're open till 8 o'clock, and after 8 o'clock, it doesn't count anyway.
Yeah.
Just can't be that late.
Yes.
If you decide at 9 o'clock you want to vote, that's really too late.
Which I think is also another important point. Polling stations close at 8 p.m.
Correct.
So if you show up at 7:55 and there's a long line, what happens?
If you are in line, you will be served.
Good.
But I have it set up so there should never be a long line. They were kind of throwing a fit because they got rid of the poll pads. And so they were making people call in all the time if they didn't bring their envelope. Make sure you bring your envelope with you. Your envelope's the most important part. If you messed up your ballot, it doesn't matter. You get a new ballot. But you can't get a new envelope. The envelope identifies this is your ticket to vote to show that you have not already voted. When you hand that in, you can get a ballot. You can go and you can actually vote in the box. It will be counted that night. If you want to and you just want to mail it in just for fun, you could get a ballot and then stick it in that envelope and drop it in the drop box that's at the polling place. But as long as you're in line, you will get served. But there shouldn't be any long lines because people understand now, if I forgot my envelope, you can fill out a provisional ballot, which means we have to look it up to show you haven't voted. And they were trying to avoid that because the office was a little lazy. You know, they were trying to think of, well, I don't care if the voter is, put out by any sort of this. I only care that I don't have to work as hard. So I've changed that. We don't do it that way now.
Okay. I think it's important that people realize you can, 7:58, you can still vote because you're going to be in the line and be able to vote if you're there before 8 p.m.
Right.
Excellent. So do you support the mail-in voting?
I don't really like it the way it is now because there are just all these ballots are just thrown out there. Some people get two or three ballots. We had this problem in the last thing. We sent out the ballots.
But even if someone has two or three ballots, they're only allowed to vote once.
Well, they are only allowed to vote once. But I have incidents now where I have found I'm walking around talking to people and everything. And I have this list of people. You know, when you walk the neighborhood, you have a list of people and who's at the house and what they are. I was at a house last week. And it had the person on there twice. The name of the person, the same age, once as a Republican and once as a Democrat. So I will have to check that out to see what's going on there to hand that over to the sheriff to look at if that's actually the case. I'm going to go through the voter history, make sure. Because it showed that they both voted. If only one of them voted, it wouldn't really have been a problem, right? But they both voted according to this thing I'm using. So I have to actually pull the history, make sure, that's not just some error in the app. And if it's not, then we'll turn that in. But you don't want all these ballots floating around because they can come in. And that's the problem.
But isn't the checks and balance that you verify who's voting?
Well, it is, but the verification process is a little sloppy. So you have a signature verification, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the person who's taught the signature verification has a 3-hour class, okay? In order to actually do signature verification professionally, it takes 3.5 years and a lot of testing. So they're not really that good. It's kind of like just throwing against the wall. If we got rid of mail-in voting and went to absentee voting, like they have in many states, right? Absentee voting allows you to get a mail-in ballot, but you actually have to request it, you have to sign up for it, and you have to send in a current signature when you request that. You can then look at that current signature to see if it's the right one, and that would be very helpful. But just sending them out to everybody and their dog, there's a lot of stuff out there that can just be signed and squibbled and thrown in. And it depends also on how good you do your signature verification. Down in Maricopa County, I was working on that case, right? They had tons of ballots come in, and they were signed with a heart and a smiley face. And they took it.
So
you can't do that.
So you don't support the structure of the mail-in ballot?
No. Okay. I would change it to the absentee ballot. I'm a big supporter of voter ID. It doesn't make any sense not to have voter ID. because you have an ID for everything else you do. Everything else you do.
Well, isn't the identity of the voter determined through the Department of Motor Vehicles?
Isn't what was that again?
Verification of the signature comes from where?
All over. Past signings of things. We get a whole list of them. The one for the DMV right now is kind of the worst to compare it to because it's not really a signature. It's that little pad thing.
But isn't that the current way it's done is through the Department of Motor Vehicles?
We do look at that, but when they sign their name on the ballot and they sign it with a pen on a paper, it has no real match to what you see with the DMV signing. Because most people at DMV, you know, you've got a funny pen on a scratch pad and it's like an Etch-a-Sketch and it doesn't really match much.
If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections. It's presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. All of the people that produce programs on KKRN are volunteers. And so we do these programs to inform and invite the community to be engaged in what's transpiring. Specifically, Shasta County Elections is to help inform the community and get a conversation with the candidates so that it will help them in making decisions about how they're voting. We are here in conversation with the current Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters, Clint Curtis. He is also running for re-election. So I just want to clarify, too, just so people are not confused. Okay. Who determines the guidelines that the Registrar of Voters follows for elections?
State law, regulation from the Secretary of State, but a lot of it is up to the discretion of the ROV.
Registrar of Voters.
Yes, the Registrar of Voters, which is why I have this lockdown, observe everything, all kinds of chain of custody, and the previous did not. Both were completely legal.
So what you're doing currently is to ensure that how things transpire is as secure as possible.
Right.
But the really thing what I'm pointing to is you have a state mandate about some laws. There's flexibility in other areas that right. is up to the current elected official to implement.
Correct.
Okay, good. I want to make sure that was clear for people. What do you think, given the elections and things that are transpiring, what do you think are the major challenges Shasta County is facing in that regard right now?
Well, we have the elections locked down pretty tight right now. And people can see them. They're on camera 24 hours a day. And all the ballots are out there. You can see everything. So it's locked down pretty tight. You know, we have all these people, the governor candidates and all this, that come and saw everything, and they're trying to spread it throughout California. Whether it's successful or not is, I would like to say, up to the voter, but, you know, I don't really believe the voter influences the whole thing. I definitely believe there's election fraud. I mean, I wrote the program. I handed it to them. I testified before Congress, and instead of fixing it, it actually keeps getting worse, and they keep locking people out more.
Do you think voter fraud happens nationally?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So all over the place.
Do you think you hear conversations about 2020 election and voter fraud. You think that's true?
Yes, absolutely. I think in 2020, Trump won. But the odd thing is, if you look at the data, 2016, I think Clinton won. Because the same weirdness that went on with him when he lost went on with Hillary prior to that. So you had Volusia County with 110% of the voters voting. Well, you can't have 110% of voters voting. It's impossible. And you saw that all over. So there was a vast difference. So I think there was a lot of flipping going on in 2016 as well as 2020. So it goes both ways. It depends on who's making the selection that day, I guess. I'm not really sure, you know, who's doing that. But, you know, we could fix it. With the system I have now, the actual citizen can see every ballot before it touches the machine. And that will solve a lot of the problem. They also need to get rid of the poll pads. The poll pads are directly connected to your voter database. So it can mark whoever it wants. And there's many incidents I saw in Texas and everywhere else. You can look these up on Rumble if you want to. But you will see the actual poll pad numbers climbing after the polls are closed and no one's voting. Well, where are they getting those votes? Well, it can get any vote it wants to by looking into the database. You know, anyone who says that computers are not connected simply don't understand computers. They connect them so many ways.
But are the computers tied to the internet?
Well, that one is. The poll pad has to be tied to an internet or a cell tower, which is slightly different. But if you can say internet connectivity, then we'll say internet, because they are directly connected to your voter database, which is not in the poll pad.
So do you think voter fraud is happening in Shasta County?
I think it has. I have actually looked through one race in particular. It's hard to do because, you know, it's a Republican area. So if you have a Republican, it's a Republican. It's hard to really separate that and divide it up. You can't really go, well, I don't know, right? You just don't know. But there was Kevin Cry had a recall, and that was a Republican versus Democrat thing. The Democrats got all the things together. They did a recall, and he was in there. And he started off after the early vote 20% down, which means he should have 20% more votes against him than for him. But if you actually go through the histories, and I did, you actually go through the histories of who voted and the time they voted, because that's actually available to anyone who wants to check this, and that never occurred. The Republicans were always ahead of the Democrats on every day, all the way through the process. It was nice and flat, which it usually is with a real election, nice and flat. And then at the end, it finished up. But if you look at the numbers on Kevin Cry's race, if the Republicans voted to keep him, and every other voter, the Democrats, the Greens, the Independent Party, which, you know, they're actually more conservative than Republicans, if all of those other people voted against him, he still should have won by 511 votes. And he won by two, three, by nothing. So that's a real good indication that you have a problem. And that's called front padding. And I've seen this all over the place. This is usually something that happens in third world countries like Honduras or Venezuela. You know, you'll have all this big flux of ballots come in early. And then you have this number. And then the guy who's not leading the thing, not in charge of the government, actually has like this big hill to climb to catch up. And sometimes they do. But then they declare the election void and they do it again until they finally win. Because that's the way they used to do it down there.
So what drew you to be a candidate with all the, you know, currently? Why are you running for election?
I missed the question.
What inspired you to be a candidate? I mean, you've had lots of diverse background. You could do other things, but you decided to stay and run for office again.
Well, this is to make sure that Shasta has fair elections. If it goes back to the way it was, you will never have a fair election again. I guarantee it. And what this also does is this sets the gold standard across the country. So I have people from Washington, people from Montana, people from all over calling and wanting to see how to do this. I was in conversation with other leaders of the Republican Party, and they're getting the information up to President Trump to see if he can push this in and actually get this mandated by Congress. Because if he can, then there's no way that the state can't follow it. Because a lot of people say, well, the states control the elections. Read the second sentence. Lawyers always tell you, don't just read the sentence you like. Read the one after that. The states control it unless Congress decides to write legislation to change it.
Yes.
And the only thing that Congress can't change, and I have no idea how this got in there, but is the place that the senators are selected. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. It must be a throwback to something, you know, that I'm not that familiar with. But that's what it actually says.
Do you, in working as the clerk and registrar of voters, you know, you said you bring in from all parts of the community to participate.
Yes.
So when you talk about the other parties other than Republicans, do you feel like you're open to have them all involved?
Of course, we've invited everybody to come in. You know, we contacted Rose with the Democratic Party. She's not the head of it anymore because she's running. So there's somebody else ahead of it. I don't know who we contacted. But we contacted him, trying to get him in there. We're going to have closers come in because in order to speed the polls up, because people are tired at the end of the day. So we're going to have two staff people come in to help them close up, pack all that stuff up, get everything so it's in bags of 50 so the inspector can grab his stuff and head out the door and doesn't have to wait around till the end and let people go home early. So People don't want to be there till midnight.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that in the voter fraud that you're pointing to, that it's led by any particular political group?
I don't know. It used to be led back in, 2000 by the Bush people, because they were the ones who wanted me to write the program. And then I said, here it is, and this is why you can't use it, because, you will never be able to find what's going on in there. I changed the logs. I changed the database. I changed everything. Go ahead and look as hard as you can. You won't find where I flipped it. And I flipped it to 5149. So they rolled it out. But that doesn't mean that's who has control of it today.
Yeah,
because things get away from people.
So if you're elected as Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters, what do you hope to achieve? What's your goal?
My goal is to make sure that Shasta County has the best elections in the entire country and sets the standard for everybody else, not only in the country, but internationally as well. Because, I dealt a lot with international people. I changed a lot of their laws. I couldn't change them in the United States. But in 2006, working with Germany, they got rid of the machines. They said, we're not going to keep them.
So what are they doing instead?
They do a hand count one night. And everybody says, well, how can you do that? Well, the way you do that is you have a draft, and you draft the people that come in to help you with a hand count. Germany has 65 million people, which means you need 1% of the people of the votes to do the counting. So they need 650,000 people to count in Germany. And they get them.
How do they count it?
What was that?
How do they count it? Is it like
count it by hand.
So a person's looking at however the ballot is marked, say
yes.
Punched.
Right.
And recording that.
Correct.
So you're relying upon people to be honest.
You are, but I tell them to put cameras over that. Because don't rely on people to be honest. Because even if they are, you want to be above that. You want to have it so no one can question it, which is what I do at Shasta. The ballots are on camera before they ever touch the machine. So if the machine cheats you, good. You tell me what it is, we'll throw that machine out. But I need that proof, right? But now they can count them. So in our election, in the previous election, there were 3,000 more voters. 3,000 more votes than voters. Which is bad, right? Now you can't have that.
Ours doesn't that zero. Have to do with different parts of the ballot?
No. It's if you have more of the votes than voters, you have a problem. And that's the problem they have down in Riverside now, because I've been talking to them down there, and the sheriff's trying to pull them in, and the Democrats are trying to stop it. And it's simply a matter to get through the actual number of ballots that they have. I don't know why anyone would want to stop that. Mm-hmm. Is it 611 or is it 655? It's one or the other. Find out, and then you can actually fix things. But by stopping even to know that much is a real issue.
So with the June election, are you using machines?
Yes, we have to use machines. They're mandated in California.
And by the Attorney General?
No. Shasta County threw out the machines and wanted to do a hand count. Joanna and Kathy Darling went down to Sacramento and San Francisco, actually, and got them to write a bill, emergency session, specially for Shasta County, to force them to use machines. And that's what happened.
And aren't machines used throughout the state?
They have to be now, because that's what they wrote in the bill.
Yeah, and people, it's part of our legislative process that said, yes, we're going to do it this way.
Well, it is, but I don't necessarily think that's proper to immediately change a bill that, we hadn't had to have them for 100 years.
But two people can't make that happen. People are in part of the process to vote on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So we're stuck with them. If we get rid of them on a national level, I would be thrilled because we could do that. But
are you suspect of the machines that you have in place right now?
Oh, I'm suspect of everything. We watch everything.
So
don't trust anything.
Are you saying that the machines that you have right now, you don't trust them?
No, that's what the camera does. The camera validates them, and they were perfect.
How can a camera, just by its visual part, validate a machine's accuracy? You don't have any checks and balances for the machine? You calibrate the machines?
You have fake ones. They're just fake.
They're fake.
Everybody, the programmer knows that what you present to the public with your testing is just made up. It's a dog and pony show. So when they come in, and programs know when they're being tested. If you look at the Volkswagen case, 11 million cars went out and were tested, smog tested constantly, passed the test every time, right? These were the diesel rabbits, I think they were. And then some kid tested him on his own and said, that's crazy. It's not even close. They found out that the computer knew when it was being tested and simply changed the way the car ran while it was being tested. And was not being tested, they flipped it back. So it was better for the driver because now they had all the, you know, all the speed and everything. So computers can test anything. They know what it is, and they know when they're being tested. So it's easy to set up. So pre-lat, you can come and watch, but you're really wasting your time because it should never fail. If the programmer is worth anything, it knows when it's being tested. It will make it happen. What the camera does is it gives the ballots, the visual, the ballots to every citizen, which means they can then sit down there and look at the counts and know if they're correct and compare them to the machine, and the machine can no longer cheat you. It can't.
Do you think, though, the average citizen looking at it is going to know what's going on?
Yes. Well, if they're interested. Mm-hmm. You know, there won't be a billion people interested, but there will be enough that they can go in, look at those, and say, okay, that's what happened. And if there's a miscount on the numbers, like down in Riverside, they can surely go in and count by ones and go 1, 2, 3, 4, because there's stacks of 50. Go through there, find out how many you got, how many the machine said you had, and you'll know if the numbers are correct.
Yes. We're here in conversation with Clint Curtis. He is a current Shasta County Clerk and Registrar of Voters and a candidate for re-election. This is a presentation of Shasta County Elections through KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. With time passing, slipping away from us, Clint, I want to be sure ask you the couple questions I have remaining because both candidates are addressing the questions. Do you think it's important to have a good working relationship with the state government?
Yes. You almost have to, which is one of the reasons that I hired Brent Turner. Brent Turner is a San Francisco lefty. He's as hard left as you can find. You know, he spoke with Pelosi. He's spoken with all the Democrats in the whole state. And he actually, his job is to make sure that everybody is on board. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody understands it. He basically spends most of his time down in Sacramento. He's almost a full-time lobbyist for us. So he can go down there, and if we have a question, he can actually ask them directly. And so he, you know,
so during your
stays in their face.
During your current tenure, you've had engagement with the state and have worked. Do you develop a relationship with other counties that are doing the same work?
Yes, some.
You said Riverside won.
Yes. Well, I don't think Riverside likes me because, you know, I'm trying to find out what happened to their 48,000 ballots. And, you know, it essentially explains that they did it wrong. Because what they had is every ballot that comes in gets counted by two people and then sorted and then put on a log. Same way on Election Day. Every ballot comes in, gets counted by people. Same thing. When you total up their logs, they should have 611,000 votes. What went through the machine, according to their information, is 655,000 votes. So there's an issue. I would want to know what that issue was. I'd want to know if extra ballots got stuffed in, because that can happen. If somehow the logs are bad, although I can't believe the logs are bad because it's double counted and it's, you know, written at the time it was actually done. So that should pretty much be the same. And if the machine is cheating, you want to know. You should want to know. You shouldn't want to go, well, I'm just going to believe the machine. If I have to pick one, I'll pick that one. Don't pick it. Find out, right? So we're not necessarily friendly in that regard because I think he shouldn't be trying to defend something he doesn't understand. And most ROVs are not NASA quality
voters.
Computer programmers. Mm-hmm. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand networking.
But it was my understanding that the machines are tested to make sure they're functioning correctly.
Once again, you're testing. I can make something. If you tested the program that I wrote for the Republicans in 2000, it would work perfectly.
So if you had a magic wand, we'd get rid of the machines and everything would be hand counted.
Yes, it would be much more like a Germany thing. In fact, I actually had a system developed that I was showing people around the country that could be hand-counted that was on camera so people could see it. And we had these big numbers. We actually showed who was, you know, as your count came up. And so everything would have been very solid and very tied down.
So if you hand-counted, like Shasta County, you have X amount of voters.
Right.
How long would it take you to count the votes?
2 hours.
2 hours. Hand counting?
Yeah. Hand counting is actually very quick.
So how many people would be doing the hand counting?
Ah, there's your key. If you did, you need 1%. So you'd have to, you know, bring in 1% of the people to count them.
Which is how much?
Would it be cheaper than the machines? Absolutely.
So how many people would be hand counting in Shasta County?
We did 65,000 in the last election, so you would need 650. Which is still a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. That's a lot of people.
And you would have cameras that are watching them do their work.
Cameras watching them do their work. And all you see is their hands. So, I mean, it doesn't really show the face of the person. It's basically you see their hands and you see them looking at it. They'll point and they'll push a button if you do a hand count. Now, Germany doesn't use that system. Germany uses little ticky marks, which I don't like as well because on camera, the little ticky marks are not that easy to see.
Yes. But, so thinking about that, you feel that you could do it in a couple hours. You feel that it's more secure than the computers.
Right.
Okay. Just want to make sure I'm understanding you.
But right now, in case you're wondering, that's not what we do. What we do is we have to use the machines. It is illegal for me to hand count anything.
Because it's state law.
Yes. So they blocked you out. They don't let you see what's in the machines, but you have to use them. So what you have is you have the video camera telling you what's going in the machine. So it's up to the public to actually look at that. And you don't have to look at all. I mean, that's in my precinct. If you're a candidate and you're running and it was a close race, you'd want to check it. I would say check every ballot to see what went in. And you will know. You'll be able to know. You don't have to spend exorbitant amounts of money for a recall. You can just check it, make sure it's right. If it's right, it's right. If it's not, tell me. We have a clock there and you can actually tell what station, what time, what ballot. You'll know exactly what it is and you tell me what's wrong and we will fix it.
Do you encourage people to vote?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Why? Why is it important for people to vote?
It's important to vote. Even where your vote may not be necessarily counted properly, it's still important to vote so you stay in there. Uh-huh. So you stay in the game and you stay and you keep the fight up. Now, it's important that you push for voting that's valid, that everyone can see and everyone can trust. And that's my philosophy is I don't just want to give you a good election. I want to give you an election that everyone can trust, that no one is playing with and you can make sure they don't. And so we've actually added a few extra little twists because, you know, I like to be over the top sometimes. And so we will have our call center this time will not just have the normal, you know, Shasta County people answering the phone. We're also going to cover a language problem. So we have a Punjabi. There's a lot of Punjabi speakers in this county. So we're going to have
our Sikh community.
Yes. And we're going to have a Punjabi interpreter, I guess, that helps them walk through the process if they get, you know, stuck on something. We'll have Spanish and we'll have Chinese. So we'll actually add those in there.
What about the Mian and Hmong and Laotian and Vietnamese community here?
Well, we don't have one for everybody, although if they would like to apply, I would absolutely stick them on there. You know, so I don't have a problem at all. We cover anybody who wants to cover.
An invitation.
You know, I'd be glad to have them, right?
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, some of them that didn't have a lot, we could put them in the poll and have them as a poll worker in a poll and still have a call line going to them for the rare cases. But it's good to have everybody covered if you can.
Yes, yes, because our population, what people don't realize, is really diverse in Shasta County. And if you're elected to the office and you're faced with a situation where the pressure to do something, like say the board of supervisors say, you're going to do this, and it's in contrast to what the state regulation is, what do you do with that?
You politely tell them, sorry, can't do that. And they're not going to do that. If you give them they may not know initially, but if you give them the regulation, the ones we have now, they're on the board, I am pretty sure can read. And they're pretty good at understanding what's going on, and they're not going to go off the range on you there. It's going to be pretty much normal. You may have to explain it to them, but that's the way it is.
Which is part of the reason I will like to do these programs, so that the community can understand that you have certain regulations by the state that you have to follow.
Right.
There's flexibilities in some areas also, and that you work with the Board of Supervisors, but you are not governed by the Board of Supervisors. your state regulations, and you're an elected official.
Correct.
And so the community says, this is who we want in office.
Right. And if the community says something, it's against the state law, you simply can't do it.
And you encourage them. If you think you need to, the state law needs to change, there's a process.
It's less of a process now than there used to be, because now your representative's coming out of, you know, San Francisco. So you're going to have a much more
challenge,
leftish run than you had before. So if you want something from a conservative standpoint, you know, we're a little bit under the gun right now.
Do you think, though, that people that are Democrat and Republican have the capacity to collaborate with each other?
They used to. But I'm starting to wonder if that's true anymore. Because now it seems like, you know, all of the centrist and all of the conservatives that were in the Democratic Party aren't there anymore. They've all been pretty much forced to go somewhere else, either go independent or go Republican. And so that's a problem for the Democratic Party right now, that it's swung so far to the left that it's almost unrecognizable to what it was 10 years ago. So if you look at the thing that Trump's doing, the whole immigration, America first, you know, don't let these people get the jobs, don't send jobs overseas. That was a Democratic thing 20 years ago. That was what the push was 20 years ago, is this was what our values were. But all of those values have drained away now. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why we've gone into this hard left, we all want to be socialist thing. So I think Bernie Sanders had a little bit of a problem with that, because, you know, he called himself a socialist. But he really isn't, not compared to where it's been.
We have about a minute left. So is there anything you want to share with the community that I haven't asked you about, or we haven't touched upon?
Not really. You're pretty thorough, actually. just, you know, if you want fair elections in Shasta County, you have to vote for me. You have to vote for Clint Curtis for county clerk, because otherwise you're going to go right back where you were before, and there's going to be wars and spiked fences going down your rooms, and everything will go back, because it's perfectly legal to do it that way. You can either do it the good way, you can get the observers in and see it, or you can try and lock them all out and show them nothing. Both are allowed in California.
So your encouragement is vote for Clint Curtis.
Vote for Clint Curtis.
Okay. I want to thank you for coming in, Clint, and sharing your thoughts and perspectives. Our listeners, we're encouraging you to vote, engage in the process. I know sometimes people say it doesn't help to vote. The encouragement is, it is powerful to vote. It's your voice being heard. I want to thank Clint Curtis, the current Registrar of Voters and clerk for Shasta County. He's also a candidate and running against Joanna Franciscus. This is the segment of Shasta County Elections presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your producer and host. I'm a licensed marriage family therapist, and we want to thank you and encourage you. Vote, please.